Let the word of God say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. See, as the word of God is coming forth, I receive insight. I have the ability to understand. It is penetrating into my heart and it is turning my life around in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Amen. All right, open your Bibles, please, if you may, to the book of Mark chapter 11. We read that last time. Let's read it again. The book of Mark chapter 11. Let's start from verse 11, and then we'll jump some verses, and then continue from verse 19. From verse 11, it says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple, and after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. In verse 12, it says, on the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Now, seeing it at a distance, a fig tree in leaf, that is full of leaves, all right, blossoming leaf-wise, he went to see if perhaps he will find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And it was not the season for the figs. Now notice verse 14. He said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. Then verse 15 says, then they came to Jerusalem. He entered the temple and did the things that he did there. That's not part of what we are discussing now. So we're going to omit most of that. Then as in verse 19, the Bible says, when evening came, they would go out of the city, that they began to head out of the city. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. That's verse 20. In as in verse 21, being reminded, Peter said to him, he said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Now, verse 22, and Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Last time I read from the Young Literal Translation of the Bible, which gives us exactly the words that Jesus used without anybody trying to make too much sense out of it by himself. Jesus said literally, have the faith of God. You understand? That's what he said. Some people interpret it like this. They think it's easier. They say, have the God kind of faith. But what Jesus said, of course, what we have here, which is have the faith of God. That's if you have the New Young's Literal Translation, you read that there. And I said in verse 23, because of what I'm saying in verse 22, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. He now went ahead to explain some things. Now, please keep this in mind, all right? We read it last time. I will review some of the things we said concerning it then. I'll review them briefly again. But let's quickly open to the book of Psalms. I want to read something from the book of Psalms. Now, we'll read from Psalm 82, all right? From verse 1. All right, in verse 1, it says, God takes his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. He said, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah, that is, meditate on that. He said, vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. He now said in verse 5, they do not know, nor do they understand. For that reason, it says, they walk on in darkness. For the foundations of the earth are shaken. Verse 6 says, I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. He said, nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any of the princes. He said in verse 8, arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who possesses all the nations. Now we have read many portions of the scriptures in this our series of teachings on the habitation of God. But this one that we have read again and again, I need to read it one more time, all right, and tie everything together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Please, let's just read that one quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Because we have read it many times, I will just jump here and there as I'm reading so as to save time. It says from verse 14, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, that is, we believers in Christ Jesus. Just as God said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now, let's just stop there. I think we have read all the things we need to read. I can now begin to talk. The Lord is good. If you know you are blessed, say amen. Okay, we have read those scriptures are the main things we have been reading. I want to just summarize everything and put a few things together. The main one we are taking today is from the book of Psalm, that's chapter 82 that we just read. With that, we'll summarize everything that we have been discussing. Remember, this is what we are trying to emphasize to Christians. The fact that God wants to dwell in us. That was why Jesus saved us. He saved us to become the dwelling place of God. He did not save us to give us more money. The way we preach the gospel sometimes, we think that all God wants to do is just to bless us financially, give us a husband and wife, give us children, make us financially successful. And that is not what He saved us for. The primary reason why God saved us is so that we'll become exactly like Him and He will be able to dwell inside us. And that's one thing I want Christians to understand again. Everything you do in life, listen to this, every single thing you are doing in life, I'll say it one more time, every single thing you are doing in life is deciding whether God can dwell in you or you are repelling His presence away from your life. I said something to us last night, which is what I want to say again, all right, we're picking up from there. When Jesus came to that tree, do you understand? When He began to talk to that fig tree, He was speaking to the fig tree casually. Please notice that. He was speaking to that fig tree casually. He wasn't there to tell the disciples, "Everybody surround this tree. We're about to do something dangerous right now. Watch out, the anointing is about to come. I am going to speak against this tree." And suddenly, the lightning of God will flash and the tree will die. He didn't do that. He just got to a tree. He was disappointed the way you would be disappointed if you got to your house and there's no cold water in the fridge and you are really, really, really thirsty. Do you understand what I'm saying? And He just looked at the tree and said, "Nobody will eat from the tree again." There are so many common words we use like that, all right, these days. Nonsense tree. You know that kind of thing? You know, just hiss and said, "I thought there would be something here, sir." He just said it casually. He was not planning to look at that tree again. He was not coming there he had nothing in His plans to come and inspect whether that tree will respond to Him or not. He said it casually and He walked on. It was the disciples that looked and said, "Master, behold, that the tree that you cursed without trying to curse it," please, do you understand what I'm saying? "The tree you spoke against." One day, you know, a friend of mine and I, we were driving in Lagos. I don't even know whether it was his car anyway. I don't know whether I was the one driving or it was the one driving. This was on Marina. And one guy decided to drive one kind of rough. Do you understand? Call rough driving, which is very common in our country, Nigeria. So, I guess we didn't give him way. So, he got angry. So, he chased us down, overtook us, brought out his hand, and decided to do waka. You know waka? Instantly, his engine exploded. He had to park. So, my friend said, "That's the power of God." Do you understand? Yes, the man said, he wasn't joking. He said, "That's a testimony." Because, what is he trying to do? Next thing we just saw, boom, we heard something, smoke just started coming out from his engine. The guy had to rush over and park. Of course, we kept on driving like nothing happened. Do you understand my point? Just by the way, this is how God takes care of you. There are many things that God has protected you from, you are not even aware. You know, the truth is that we like testimonies a lot, and they are good. I'm not saying they are not good. But God is not actually in the business of generating testimonies. He's in the business of just doing what is right. Did you hear what I said? Listen, God will not always wait for you to be flat broke before he sends you money. That's the reason why you don't come every day testifying about the supply of money. Because money comes long before you get hungry. You don't realize every single one is actually a miracle. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin, or I speak, that's I think earlier today or yesterday, and he said that most operations of the Spirit are actually supposed to be in private. That people are always looking for what is spectacular. They're always looking for what is spectacular. And he said we should be careful, all right, not to miss that which is supernatural because we are looking for that which is spectacular. That's just by the way. Listen to me, God is taking care of you. He's not always generating miracles. It is not every time he will let you become sick before he heals you. Many times he doesn't let you fall sick at all. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many times he does not allow you to fall sick at all. He just takes care of you. And that's one thing about the word we must understand. The word is not always... God didn't give us the word to solve problems. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? No, he didn't. He didn't give us his word to solve problems. He gave us his word to live by. He gave us his word to what? To live by. It is not when I fall sick, I will take the word of God and use it to get healing. That is good and it works. But that was not the primary thing about the word. The word of God, yes, it is medicine. It works for sicknesses, for ailments. But the primary thing about it is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. What that means is that every morning, whether you are sick or not, say a word concerning your health. Did you hear what I said? You don't wait till you are sick. Then you now remember that Jesus died on the cross to heal you. By his stripes you have been healed. Many people haven't said that scripture in the last 1 year. Why? They have not been sick in the last 1 year. Then suddenly, sickness comes. Then where's that scripture again? You know, we gather it, we start using it for medicine. Yes, it is right to gather it and use it for medicine. It is correct. But listen, don't wait for you to fall sick first before you realize that healing scriptures actually are necessary. Very important. Because we often look out for what is spectacular. We hardly give testimonies of, Father, we come to the brethren now, right? Praise the Lord. The Lord has been good to me over the last few years. Why? How do I know? Because he has kept me in perfect health. We hardly remember. But if we fell sick and the doctor said we would die, and the brethren prayed, and then we didn't die, they come to Bible study, who has a testimony? I do. They said I was going to die. But praise God, I didn't die. Listen to me, it is even a greater testimony that nobody had the opportunity to tell you you would die. What am I going to say? So when Jesus went to that tree, he spoke what? Casually. You know, I've been emphasizing it. He wasn't trying to be dramatic. But this is the power of the Son of God. He looked at the tree and said, nobody will eat from that tree again. The tree died. Why? Because he had what he called the faith of God. He said, whoever we say to this mountain, he was passing a comment on it, and we believe that that which he says, now I need to emphasize that again, we said it last time, I just want to run over it again so as to give people the opportunity to print these things in their minds. He said, whoever we believe that what he says, that is, it must be something he understands as part of his life. I am not trying to get results. Listen to me. You are not trying to focus now, because sometimes what we think is this. Let us now focus on this and begin to fire it with our faith. So you narrow your faith, focus your faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's what we often do. But at other times, when your faith is not very active, there's no point. Just relax. But that is a mistake. That is why our faith doesn't work. That is why what we say does not come to pass. Because we do not have the habit of understanding that whatever we say is... Now, you understand what the English there? I quickly rearranged the English. I know it is not correct English, all right? But I just want to emphasize using the words that he used. We have to understand that whatever we do what? Use my bad English. Says, you understand what I'm trying to say? Whatever we says, I'm not emphasizing the says, the fact that it is something that you and I do continually. You must understand your word every time has power. Let me say to you again, that is why after today, you will not lie again. I'm not praying for you, so you can say the amen the way you like it. It's not a prayer. It's a statement. Let me tell you something. If a thief comes to your house and say, do you have any money inside here? you have a choice of two. Either you don't answer him or you tell him the truth. Answering not by force, Abi. But I thought about it today. It is beneath a child of God to, because of fear, lie to the thief. For what? I looked over my life while I was meditating about this thing. I said, no. There are times, you know, you've played sharp with people, you know, other policemen, you know, those kind of things, when they want to extort you. I said, not anymore. Not anymore. I will tell you the way it is. Listen, my security, my favor is not in your hands. Not anymore. God forbid, I thank God for his protection. Just as an example, if I have money in my house, a thief gets in there and says, he carries a gun. I have a choice of two. Either I don't answer you, or I tell you the truth. I will not say there is no money if there is money. Do you know why? It's not about the thief. It's not about money. Let me tell you something about money is nothing. Did you hear what I said? It's nothing. God can take $1 million from you today, tomorrow give you 10. Listen, as far as God and you are concerned, $10 million and 50 naira are the same thing. There is no difference. There is no difference. It takes God as much effort to move $10 million into your life as it takes him to move 50 naira into your life. The main problem, the main issue is you and me. Whether we can, and that is the reason why if you see $1 million, you want to hold it like, favor. It mustn't go away. You want to hold on to it tenaciously, like, listen, this thing, you must not leave me. But the fact is that if you understand God well, you can let it go as simply as, do you understand? Just, it's, if you can 50 naira the $1 million, it will come easily into your life. I manufacture words. I have to manufacture words to convey the special revelation that is there, no current English word. So that's why I say, if you can 50 naira it, that is the same attitude you have towards 50 naira. For those who don't understand, as of today, naira on the open market, $1 is about 180 naira. Do you understand? So, just in case somebody listening to this, you know, because you, like I keep on saying, you may be in Australia and you don't spend naira, you don't understand the relative value. So we have to try and make you, all right, be with us, okay? All right. If you can look at it with that same, you know, if you can get to a point, you see, that's what life is about as believers. God is actually, that's what he's doing. He's building up our faith to that level. Anything he wants to do in your life, he wants to build up your faith to the level that the thing doesn't hold. Do you follow what I'm saying? It doesn't grip you. It doesn't hold you tight like, you know. I mean, God will build up your faith to a level. Listen, anything that you can release freely, God will be easily bring into your life. Do you hear what I said? Let me say it again. What you are able to release freely, what God is going to do is to make it very easy for that thing to come again and again into your life. Anything you hold on to tenaciously, it's going to be hard for you to keep on coming back to you. That's not a joke. What I say is a matter of fact. You hold on to it tenaciously, it's going to be very difficult for you to come back into your life. You have not yet built up to the level where you can handle it. That's what God is saying. But let me get back to where I took off from. That made a lot of people, you know, shock. I'm looking at something deeper. I'm looking at a point, do you understand, in which my words are so powerful. Do you understand? And I recognize it. And I recognize, that's my emphasis, that I recognize it. Is that recognition I'm talking about? I will not weaken my faith for any reason now. Why should I? I've come to realize that if you're a liar, your faith is weak. You don't have to try. You're a liar, you don't have faith. Let me say it again. No liar has faith. Your faith is weak. You can't get anything done. You move into business, eventually it will collapse. Why? Your spiritual substance has been wasted. You don't have the faith of God. Because if you did, you will understand that, come on, if I tell my boss, or God says, how much do you spend? Because I want to eat just 50,000 naira. I lie to the man that we spend 200. The man gives us 200. We know what we spend is 150. Me and the boy wants to share 50,000 naira. I would not end my destiny because of 50,000 naira. You don't understand. You are weakening your faith of God. For what? 50,000. When God blesses you, you will find it a waste of time to go back home to pick 50,000 naira that's exposed on the road. Do you get my point? You know, if you left your door open, you want to go back and lock it. Why? You don't want a thief to take it. It will get to a time that 50,000 naira is not worth the effort of going back to pick it up. And like I keep on saying, these are not imaginary things. These are things that God has done for people. That's why I keep on telling Craig, be careful when you criticize. Be very careful. And this big man, what are they doing? He flying a private jet. I keep on saying it. A man that flies a private jet has means two things. He has private money and he's going to private places where you are not going and money you don't have. Just shut your mouth. The same reason why I insist on having my own car in going to places is the same reason he insists on having his own private jet. For some people, that waiting at the airport, checking whether the plane has arrived or has not arrived, is too much effort. They are not wicked people. That is just their level in life. I was talking to a man the other day. I was in his office, if just last week, in Enugu here. That's far away from here. When we finished speaking, he explained that the only place he stays if he travels is a Hilton hotel. You don't want to hear how much they pay a night. You will lose faith if you are not careful. And he explained a few things. I want to explain something to you. He explained a few principles, all right? It was very easy for me to grasp because I understand some things. And he's a Christian, good Christian man, good. I know he does not steal, he does not bribe anybody. He does legitimate business. And he began to explain. He said, listen, when you are staying in the Hilton because of the business he does, you will tell maybe a minister, that Nigerian minister, or a big man, head of a big company or parastatal, okay, let us say in the evening, they offer to come and see you. I don't know what I get around say. You didn't catch that. Most people go to a bank MD's office. You think it's a favor. When you tell the bank MD, all right, what do we see in the evening? All right, the man will say, okay, where are you in the hotel? Okay, no, I'll come and see you. Suddenly the whole thing changes. Why? Because where he's staying, in fact, one of our brothers who worked with him said one day they were walking, he was walking to go and meet his boss, who was passing by him, the head of an African state. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the person walking past you on the corridor. The Lord is good. But he said something which I love very beautifully. He said, you don't struggle to do such things. So you allow yourself to grow to that level. A lot of people are fighting, they don't understand. What I'm trying to emphasize is that you build your faith to a particular point. And that's what God is doing in your life. That is why I won't tell a thief a lie. Because the 50,000 you want to steal is small. When God has built me up, I will use it to for serving me good food. I'll give the waiters and waitresses to share it. Just by the way, just so excited to make you laugh. One brother was telling me about one particular man. I won't tell you his name again. All right? Nigerian man. He said when the man is coming to the airport, anytime, if they say airport has closed, you understand, and he's coming in. It's his private plane, of course, and he's coming in. And they say, wherever he's coming from, assuming Lagos, Abuja, Port Harcourt, anywhere, once he's about to take off and he calls the people here, and they call themselves, every man runs to the airport. They will open the door for, come on, which kind of close? You can't close, or guy is coming. They will open the airport, you understand? Even those who are not supposed to be on duty will come and walk. Because once he arrives, they know. Minimum he will drop to tell them thank you is 500,000 naira. 500, that is just take. Oh, you guys are very, very nice. Thank you very much. So everybody say, my portion, I lie. I'm going to collect my portion. What are you talking about? But it's eating my portion. One of our brothers gave me a testimony once. He mentioned the name, not somebody I knew. He said that he was in his house. You know, his phone rang. Somebody said, please, are you so and so person? He said, yes. Please, somebody give your name to, maybe like to me. I can't remember the man directly. That he has a health challenge, yes. That whether the man can come and see him in the house. So this is our brother. So the guy thought was this 419 people. I said, listen, you called me doctor so-and-so, yes. He said, I am the doctor. You are the patient. You are the one that needs me. I'm not coming to your house. They just said it very nicely to him, like, but he made it clear, I am not coming to your house. So the guy apologized and said, sorry. That you are the one that should come and look for me, not me come and look. I mean, you are the one. Do you get my point? You are the one that is sick, not me. So he said, well, the next thing he knew that after some time, I don't know whether it's that day or the following day, but some guys arrived at his door. Good afternoon, sir. Please, our Oga called you earlier. He wanted you to come and see him. Please, he's not around. He said we should go and bring you by ourselves if you don't mind. So the man said, no problem. He followed them. He thought they were good. They drove to the airport. A plane was waiting. They put this guy singly on a plane, flew him to Abuja. Somebody was waiting, received him, then drove him to the man's house. The man said, oh, sorry, I didn't know. Please. This is my problem. The guy fixed everything for him in a few minutes. The plane was waiting, took him back to where he was. My bro was weak. Do you understand? He was weak. The plane came only to collect him. Listen, so that's why your mouth must stop lying. That's what I'm trying to say. Your boss gives you $100,000 to do something. There's $20,000 change. Give it to him. That's what I'm trying to explain. Give it to him. The problem for us Christians, all right, we don't realize it, is that those things, it's not money. Life is spiritual. Everything you do is either building up your faith or it's weakening your faith. So watch it. Anything that weakens your faith, fight it. Once it's removing the ability of your faith to develop, fight it. Don't allow it. Don't tell anybody any lie. In fact, I'm just against this lying thing now. Because Jesus said he must understand that what he says comes to pass. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Jesus did not say, now you have spoken to the mountain. Be looking at the mountain and then the mountain. Your movement will come to pass. You must come to pass. No. He said, the man understands that if I talk, it comes to pass. And that was why he looked at the tree and casually talked to it. I told my wife the other day, if I didn't know I was coming down to this particular message series, I said, something comes up to my mind once in a while. I think it's the Holy Spirit. And I can stop this thing. All right? Subtle, you know? I told my wife, I said, this thing I do once in a while, I don't mean any harm, but the Holy Spirit is making me understand that it's not right. You know, sometimes you just say, maybe somebody is disturbing me. You say, okay, I'll call you later. And you know, deep inside your heart, you really don't want to call the person. You just want to end the gist. Go. Do you understand my point? So I'll call you later becomes a way of dismissing things. So I told my wife, it's not right. This was about last month or 2 months ago. I told her, listen, if I tell somebody I'll call you later, even if it is 1 month, once it is later, I must call you. If I don't want to call you, I will not tell you. And it's not something I used to do a lot of. Just I noticed I did. Okay, actually what happened is that when I would tell the person I'll call you, what used to happen to me is that later on, I just dismissed that it's not important. I said, but you see, you've said to the person, I will call you later. These are things you do to just explain to yourself, I am not an ordinary man. So I told my wife, no, what I'll start doing is that if I am not 100% certain I'll call you later, I will just tell you simply, we will talk another time. Do you understand my point? That anything I don't plan to do now, I will not say it. Why? Because if I don't, it is weakening my faith of God. I am not an ordinary man. You are not an ordinary woman. You are a child of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not ordinary. You're not ordinary. You are a child of God. And you must recognize that. That's what I'm preaching today. He said they don't understand. So for that reason, what happens? They walk on in darkness. He said, I have said, you are gods. That's what we read from Psalm 82. He said, I said, you are gods. And all of you, this is a prophetic psalm, all of you are sons of the Most High. We have understood what that statement means now, having studied this over the last many weeks. This is the 9th session we are having on this habitation of God thing. That when Jesus came and said, my Father walketh and I walk. My Father is walking and I'm walking. They said, this man is making God his Father. So what is that doing? It's making himself equal with God. We understood equality with God. When God uttered the statement concerning Jesus, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Make sure you hear him. He was not speaking to the disciples. He was not speaking to Israel. He was not speaking to the people listening. He was speaking to the whole of creation, including all these people. That was why when Jesus spoke to the wind said, the Father said, hear him. So they heard him. When he spoke to the tree said, the Father has said, we must hear him. So the tree died in peace. And that's what I'm talking about. He said, you are gods. All of you are sons of the Most High. God said, this is what I want to do in your life. And we saw it earlier. Paul said, we understand this thing now. So we cleanse ourselves of all defilement. I understood telling people I will do something and not doing it is defilement. It's defiling my system. After the Christians, forget all this, am I going to hell? It never crossed your mind that if I tell somebody I will do something, I don't do it, I will go to hell for it. You know, it never crossed anybody's mind. So Christians look for what to send them to hell, what doesn't send them to hell. I'm telling you now, these are the things that prevent heaven from coming down to the earth through you. That day I told my wife, I said, listen, if I tell somebody I'm going to call you, I will call you. Even if I so don't want to talk to you, the very sound of your voice is annoying me. But once I tell you I will call you, I must pick that phone and call you. I can call you and speak for 5 seconds and tell you, I don't want to talk to you, and I call the phone. But I must call you. Why? Because if I don't, it's a defilement of my system. It's preventing God from dwelling inside my heart. I won't let that happen. That's what I'm talking about. I won't let that happen. You know, we don't realize this. So we walk on like mere men. And so what happens? What happens to mere men happen to us also. I dare to say true Christianity is rare. We don't understand it. We don't. That's what I said to you all last time. If you understood it, you would never utter from your mouth what you don't want to happen. You will never. That's why the way God taught me that thing has to do with the way I handle my children and their mother. You know, one of the ways I learned it before, you know, the Bible, God described Adam as the son of God. You know that? Yes, God described Adam as the son of God. He gave a genealogy, son of the Anase of God. Adam was described as the son of God. But notice something. This is a message I've preached to husbands a lot. In fact, many times I've had to preach at weddings. I'll always drop this one in. Because we don't have all the time. Actually, I want to close on time today because I have a co-workers meeting at the end, all right? I want to try my best, so I have to rush a bit. But if you're going to read that story in Genesis of when Adam needed a wife. Adam did not know, of course, the concept of wife. He knew something was lacking. So when God said it is not good, he decided to correct something. He now took Adam out. Go and look at the sequence. What he did was to take Adam out for Adam to look at everything. That it was after they decided that Adam needed a companion that he began to name the animals. Go and check it. So the naming was not just nomenclature. It was a seeking of the appropriate companion for Adam. Go and read it. So, all the characters, you see, dog is domesticated. That was when Adam domesticated the dog. Adam domesticated the cat. After living with them for a while, said, these guys can't do the job. In everything, there was not a mate, a help found that was suited to him. God said, now you've gotten the point. Let's now do something. Now, this point I want to make. When God created the woman, he took the woman and took him to Adam the same way he took every other creature to Adam. Adam now said, this is now. That was the word he used. He said, this is now. which tells that he has been looking for something. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. A woman shall she be called. Now, he now described her character. You get what I'm going to say? That's what it means to give names. It wasn't just to say, this one is monkey, this one is dog. No. What would this one be? How would this one function? After I read that, I found out that, listen, even though we're all human beings, individuals, children of God, when it comes to home, marriage, once a man marries a woman, what he calls her is very important. Do you hear what I said? What he calls her is very important. I always admonish men, life is tempting. Do you hear what I said? Life is what? Tempting. There are so many temptations in life. Look, in fact, your body is a temptation. Your body will just wake up in the morning and say, let me ruin this guy's life. Your own body. If your physical body can do it, how much more the other body that's not even directly attached to you, only mystically attached, that is your wife. The two shall become one flesh. The flesh that was the single one before, it likes to disturb you. But you try your best not to fall for his temptation. Is that not so? So don't worry. The fact that your woman, that is your woman that she shall be called, will also tempt you also. But don't ever fall for the temptation of using words like, I know you, you will never do anything straight. You never know how to manage money. Once they give you money, you will waste it. You think you are commenting, but actually you are prophetic. You are prophesying. A woman shall she be called. What you have done is you have called her a name. You will never know how to manage money. A spirit starts following her about. She will never be able to balance account. Why? Because Adam said to her, you will never know how to manage money. He thought he was angry. Do you get my point? He thought he was angry. He thought he was responding to the things around. But actually what he was doing was giving a name. So when she has finished vexing you, annoying you, decide what exactly do you want her to be. When you have decided that, sit down at home. Let the tempter go first, you know, because her presence may be annoying you. So when she has gone, begin to declare. This is what she will be. Why? Because Adam was a god. I have said, ye are gods. What we are experiencing in life today is we don't understand, so we walk around in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are shaken. My message today, Christians, understand, you are gods.